This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Dones Show, and you're listening to part two of our December 30th podcast.
So anyway, moving on. We talked about the Katrina fraud, right? New figures are $2
billion. We did.
Right. Okay, we already did that.
Well, we talked about it briefly, right?
Okay, fine. So we move on then.
There's $2 billion just in case.
Yeah, $2 billion. What was I saying?
In case you're wondering.
They're all bent out of shape here when they, you know, 10 or 15, 20,000 bucks.
And what kinds of fraud is, I'm just...
Well, okay, turns out that a lot of it is... The credit cards.
The credit cards. We talked about.
Then there was a lot of
they bought alcohol and sex shops.
Strip things and everything. But then apparently there were people that applied multiple times.
Right.
There were people that...
Well, sure, if they give you a car, hey, I'll take another one.
Well, it's about what it is, and they were getting...
Can I get back in line?
Well, what happened was they were sitting in, they had gotten into some motel or something, and there were like 9 of them living in this room, and they're all getting checks for the motel room.
Right.
So, I don't know. Again, it's $2 billion. The money, the simple fact is,
a lot of it was in the administration.
Well, it also had to do with the awarding of contracts to do pumping, for instance. They call fraud very often the issuance of no bid contracts. They issue $500 million, $500,000 contract or $1 million contract on a no bid. They just say, they call up, look in the Yellow Pages, say, can you pump this place out, ninth floor.
Sure we can.
How much will it be? It'll be $850,000. Fine. Here's your check. And they call that fraud. Now, one of the things that we have learned in the past from the San Francisco earthquake recently, the recent one, the Oakland earthquake, mm-hmm. where they dissed out all of the competitive bidding. Because you remember, that was the one where the top bridge fell down.
Right. Okay. Sandwiched.
The cars and everything like that. What they did is they said, look, we've suspended all the rules. We want the road back. It turned out it was... under budget and short, didn't take as long as they said because they let it go to the people. They said, can you do it? And the guy says, yeah, I can do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. In other words, just get it done.
Just get it done. Right. And turns out it didn't cost as much as they projected, and it was done like 6-8 months sooner than they had figured. I mean, that's what they were trying. I give FEMA too much credit for this, but I would like to think that that's what they were doing, but I don't believe it.
Right.
So anyway, $2 billion. Well, as I say, it's funny because people argue and get upset about some money that they understand. A guy that makes $100,000 a year gets bent out of shape when government does something that's $100,000 because they understand what $100,000 is. But you talk to me, you say, well, $1 billion was wasted. Say, well, so what else is new?
Right.
So, it's still your money. Well, it wasn't really mine. It was somebody in Nebraska.
All right. So a holiday note here. For all of our bakers up in the Northeast.
This was Puget Sound. Right. Puget Sound. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Enviro freaks are out again. Right. I didn't realize this, but with all of the...
Vanilla
and cinnamon
right.
that goes into baking on the holidays.
Pies and cakes and
the little, what do you call them, the little things with the paper around them?
Muffins,
yes, exactly right. you see
the
how...
So everybody's pouring the excess, whatever,
washing it down the drain. And again, it's in Puget Sound.
So Puget Sound is tasting pretty good right about now.
I guess.
People are drinking it out there.
It's
a cinnamon mixture.
The thing I look at is the fish that they catch now tastes like cinnamon and vanilla.
Pre-season
fish. I don't see there's a problem.
The cinnamon fish.
But they're getting ready to sue everybody in sight.
Gotta sue somebody.
This is the bakeries and the people
because there's so much extra baking that goes on during the holiday season.
Right.
And during the holiday season, you use a lot of extra vanilla and cinnamon. Mm-hmm. And what they did is they test the waters.
Scuba divers were out there and said they tasted a small hint of vanilla.
and they were sniffing.
My mask is vanilla fresh.
That's right.
So they tested the water and found its elevated levels. And the first thing they did was call up the Sierra Club or somebody and say, the world is spinning off its axis into the sun because of the vanilla in the water.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so they were getting ready to sue. They didn't know it.
Too bad.
I thought that. For some reason, that struck me as interesting that somebody would... This would make the news.
Right.
That they're all bent out of shape, that the fish are now going to eat too much vanilla or something. I don't know.
Sure.
Okay. D.C. area's effort against... this. Now, this to me was interesting. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and the roads were never crowded back then. Apparently, they're crowded now. And what they're going to do is what they've done a little bit down in Orlando area, with the Beltway, the Greenway. And you can get on the Greenway in Orlando. You have to travel a little further, but you pay big money.
Right.
But there's no traffic. to speak of. I don't. Does it ever get crowded on the Greenway? I mean, I've never been on the Greenway when it's crowded.
Yeah, but again, if you get the speed pass, you're doing pretty good.
Right. So anyway, in Washington D.C., there's a big hoorah. A lot of people are upset about it because the poor people and the children who in their Mercedes won't be able to afford to drive on the new toll roads. But what they're going to do is have what they've done in so many places. They're going to time shift or time charge on the roadways. They want to put in some new toll roads and the high speed lanes and so forth with the speed pass business. And charge according to the time, because rush hour is so unbelievable in Washington right now. So they figured that to charge, you know, $5 or something like that if you go some particular hour. And if you go 3 o'clock in the morning, it's free. I mean, that kind of thing. The market will figure it out. Well, I am stunned that Washington, D.C. would come up with a plan like this, because this is the way it should be everywhere.
Well, I'd imagine that it's... A lot of businesses probably don't have an option to change their times of business.
It gets added to the price. I mean, the point is that they don't now. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, if their clients mm-hmm. are poor and can't get there, they'll change their hours or do whatever they have to. Mm-hmm. You say that they don't have an option, but let me tell you something I found. There's always an option.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying that...
I understand. At first, when you look at
big
the first...
Big revenue generator, you know?
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But the
it's always scary.
That's the scary part. What are they going to do with the money? It wouldn't be...
They're not going to build more roads.
No.
Why would they do that?
It will be...
There's already a road there.
That's right.
A monorail in. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that
a high-speed monorail.
Yeah. I remember my uncle telling me years ago, God rest his soul, he was one of my favorite people, and he told me that he thanked me annually when in his Christmas card. He said, because back then, the Metro, Washington, D.C. Metro,
right.
it was, of course, unbelievable cost overrun, cost billions when it was supposed to cost millions. Mm-hmm. And by the time he figured in the subsidies, the rest of the United States was paying 3/4 of every fare. So he would send me a note that says, thank you so much.
For taking me to work, for paying my way to work,
for 3/4 of my work every day.
That's
the way it is here. Now, in case you're interested, here locally, in our bus thing, the taxpayers pick up 3/4 of the tab. Every time you get on the bus here, you only pay 25%. Yeah, although I think it's a dollar.
Yeah,
but that dollar, it costs $4 for you to get on the bus, and you only pay a dollar.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's the way it is here. So what else is new? And they figure it's for the good of everybody. And so anyway, this thing here is the way it should be. I mean, this is fantastic, and the market will figure it out. And this is why I've always said, if you really wanted to have no congestion, if you wanted people getting places in timely fashion, you'd sell the roads. Mm-hmm. I'm serious, you'd sell them all. Same way here with the school system. What I would do here locally in Lachlan County is to sell each school, and I would put them up for auction, each individually. Maybe
absolutely.
I would put them up individually, not as a group. I would go to each one and say, today we're auctioning off Littlewood. And, you know, what do I hear?
That's a school, right?
As a school, right. And, you know, Littlewood or Westwood or whatever
elementary.
It is. Yeah, that's right. It doesn't have to be an elementary anymore as far as I'm concerned. You know, right. We're auctioning
it's
off
the Jimmy School.
That's right. The Jimmy School of
prostitution.
Headmaster. No.
We wouldn't call it that. That's it. That's unfortunately is like a magnet. That would draw attention.
It's Jimmy's School for Girls.
That's right.
That's
Jimmy's.
Right.
It's a finishing school.
He's the head, and Jimmy's the headmaster.
That's right.
Whatever. Yeah.
The headmaster. The master head.
All right.
Okay, we've had enough of that. That's right, taking care of that. Okay, we're good.
All right, well, speaking of that, Duke rape case?
Even though
we don't have Counselor Curtis here.
Well, the thing about it is apparently the prosecutor has been I don't know if he's been indicted, but he's been charged.
Right. Well, a little update. I think we might have mentioned this last time, but Nifong now apparently the district attorney's office had not spoken with the victim until a week ago.
Something like that, right.
In what, 8 months?
Right.
Never spoke with their client.
Right. Well, what happened was, on its face,
and when they finally did, they said, oh, we might not have a case here.
Right.
Sorry about that.
Then they said, then of course they did the DNA business.
Right.
And they threw out the rape part. And they said, but we're still going to get you on these other two charges of kidnapping and illegal holding or something.
Right,
I don't know. I don't know. Something along those.
Illegally
passing the line of scrimmage and throwing a forward pass or something. I don't know. Forward lateral. I don't know what it was. Anyway, the offense. The deal was, though, that now, after that,
right.
somebody higher up, I guess the state's attorney, has come in and charged him with malfeasance, misfeasance.
Charged Nifong.
Nifong, right, with ethics violations. Well, guess what? I mean, this, of course, the Duke kids who are charged now, obviously their attorney is doing a dance because they're going to collect some big bucks from somebody.
Big money.
So they're
going to own Duke.
Well, they're going to own, not Duke, but they're going to certainly get it. They're going to, let me put it this way. Their education is going to be free. They're rich kids, but their parents are going to get paid back on this one.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see but I mean, this is what I want to talk about, and Curtis has seen this before, as a defense attorney, the counselor has seen where the prosecutors have gone off the deep. He says, generally it doesn't happen, but when it does, when you have prosecutorial malfeasance, he says, it goes way beyond the pale. It's unbelievable. You cannot talk reason to some of these people. Once they've stepped in it, they refuse to step out of it. They just go in deeper and deeper and deeper because they're so powerful. They figure that they can just wade on through it and come out on the other side. And a lot of times they do.
Well, it's like a little 5-year-old telling the lie. Once he tells the lie, he just keeps going.
That's right.
No, I really did see the ghost.
That's right.
No, he really did bring me a cookie. No, I really did.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you didn't.
It's
unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And of course, again, this is when these people need a 12-step program. I mean, the first thing you do in a 12-step program.
12-step program into the jail cell.
All right.
You know, it's 12 steps forward, buddy.
That's right. Well, the first thing that they tell you is you got to get over the denial part.
Right.
And that's the worst part of any addiction, whether it's prosecutorial misconduct or drugs or weight or alcohol or whatever, the first thing you have to do is get over the denial part. And that's what these guys don't do, is they keep, not only do they deny, but they go in further, as you just mentioned. It's perfect. So, anyway, I'm done with that.
All right.
So it looks like they're going to get off. That'll be good. Milton Friedman, there was a whole bunch of stuff on him, a lot of his quotes and so forth. I did get a recent book that I recommend everybody. Let me see here where it is here. It's called, I got this one from the, it's called The Quotable Mises, and there's a whole bunch of Ludwig von Mises quotes. And, of course, Milton Friedman had quite a few. He was the one that came up with There's No Such Thing as a Free Lunch.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, that was his. And among they're all on a lot of the websites. And so if you get a chance, my only problem with Milton was he had a big thing for vouchers. Hmm. He thought that the education system could be fixed with vouchers, and it can't be, because the problem with vouchers is they still depend on some kind of government sanction. And as soon as you have a school, as we do here, like the charter schools, if everybody decided to go to a charter school, you can bet in 2 seconds the school board would be taking them over, as they do the public schools or the government, the normal government run schools today. They would find a way to control them. And that's the problem, is when government is running the indoctrination program, there's a lot of indoctrination.
Yeah, but I still look at it, at least it might do something. I mean, in other words, the option to not have voucher is, you have no option. And with the voucher, at least you may have an option. And if everybody just goes crazy and they open up new schools and, you know, people go crazy and their grades are just far and above, then, you know, maybe there'll be some competition in court to not have them get taken over and say, look, you know, you guys don't know what you're doing, and we do, and here's the results.
I'm more cynical than that.
But yeah, I understand.
But you are. But you know, that is exactly what Milton believed.
Right.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head, and he basically said that this is at the very minimum a first step, and if the voucher program, as it should be, I mean, and of course the big fight is with vouchers is, well, you're funding religious fundamentalist schools with taxpayer money, and you got to have separation of church and state. And the answer to that was, well, you did that with the GI Bill. When the GIs came back, you didn't care where they went to college. You gave them money. And they went to college. There was no strings attached. They could go to a Catholic university or whatever. They could become a theologian. They could become a priest.
Right.
Nobody cared what you did with the GI money, the GI Bill. It was taxpayer money. So here, they were saying, it's the same thing.
Right.
If you go to a Muslim school or a Catholic school or Protestant, whatever, who cares? And, of course, this is where the battle is. And so far, the battle has been won by the people who say this is this is different from the GI Bill, but we're not going to tell you how. This just means that you can't have vouchers that go to non-sectarian type schools. They have to go to schools that that promise to have nothing to do with anything with religious or faith, except faith in the government, that have no faith at all, and no hint. The word God can't be uttered, yada, yada, et cetera, and so forth. And they've gotten away with it so far. And Milton was fighting against that. And so I'm just, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, he's gone. Unfortunately, without his guidance, it could like maybe not happen. I don't know. So anyway, I did want to mention before we close here.
Okay.
That when I got this brought something to mind. One of the websites that I listen to quite often, of course, Stefan Molyneux, he's now switched to some other feed in his freedomain.com, Free Domain Radio, I guess it is. I listen to his stuff, and it's good. The other one we also listen to or watch, or excuse me, read, Lou Rockwell. He is a libertarian thing. But the other one that I maybe haven't mentioned before is The Freeman. The Freeman.
Freeman has, Reports?
No, it's just called The Freeman, and it's been around for since the late 40s. I subscribed to the magazine starting in sometime in the mid-70s when it was free. but it's very libertarian. They're out of Irvington on Hudson. They now have a really nice website. And so let me just finish this up to tell a little of the history. So then I can't remember in the 80s they said suggested donation $10. And now it's like mandatory $100 in order to get their magazine, which comes out 12 times a year. It's a little thin magazine. It's all right. Super libertarian. The deal is, though, that they do have an email every day called, let me just see if I can find it real quick. It's called, don't tell me now. I can't. Okay, it's called FEE-in-brief. And they have a daily headline from the news.
All right.
And then they have an article that has appeared in the Freeman sometime in the last 30 or 40 years that refutes or talks about this particular thing, showing that same old, same old. And it's a fantastic resource for people who are of libertarian bent. These people have been writing about this stuff for years, and it's well thought out. The articles are well thought out, and there's literally thousands of these articles. And I think that's free. And I would advise people to go to the Freeman, and I think it's an .org. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it's thefreeman.org. I'd have to look. But if you look it up if you Google them, and they're in Irvington on Hudson, you can get their daily brief, and it's worth it. So I just wanted to mention that also. So don't forget the Hanger Dogs.
Hanger Dogs.
And I'm done.
I got one light note.
Okay, go ahead.
We got a few here. I want to talk about these.
Oh, okay. Oh, go for it, Jack.
Well, the one I was going to say, and I mentioned this briefly, was this Saturday Night Live. Now, in general, Saturday Night Live, it's doing better, but it's hard, you know, it's never going to be like it used to.
No, never.
But every now and then, there are some highlights that are worth mentioning. And one recently was Justin Timberlake was the guest host. And did a skit with Adam Sandberg, I believe is his name.
Sandler.
Not Adam Sandler.
No.
Adam Sandberg. He's a new guy.
Okay.
A new guy. Funny. And
better be.
And I believe the title of the skit would be appropriately called Dick in a Box. And for those of you who haven't
seen it on YouTube.
I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, yeah. But Dick in a Box.
Yeah. It's
a great one. And it's a heck of a music video.
Yeah.
Basically encouraging you.
Catchy tune.
Yeah. Encouraging you for any holiday, whether it's Christmas, it's New Year's, it's Kwanzaa. It doesn't matter, a bat mitzvah, it doesn't matter what it is, but give your loved one your dick in a box. And so again, check that out. That's worth a watch. It's a minute and a half, maybe 2 minute skit, and it's a highlight of Saturday Night Live.
Jimmy has not seen this.
It's a good one, so check that out. Maybe we'll put a link to it on JimmyDone.com. Okay. It's that funny, so... and for all you Justin Timberlake fans.
I wasn't a Justin Timberlake fan until I saw that. And I was like, you know, hey, he's all right.
He'd be the man.
He'd be the man.
You the man.
He's making the rounds.
Wasn't he with NSYNC or something? Was that his deal?
One of those boys. Yeah, but boy, he's come a long way.
So what else you got?
No, go ahead. Go ahead then. I saw
that thing you sent me that 94% of the bills in Spain had cocaine on them.
In Colombia.
You know,
not in Spain, it was in Colombia.
It was in Colombia.
Yeah,
Colombia. Oh, okay.
I believe it was in Colombia.
Yeah.
Really?
I thought they did a sampling of everywhere.
To be determined if it was because people were actually rolling up the dollar bills and using them.
Well,
as
now these are
straws.
These dollar bills, or are they Colombian money?
Colombian money.
Okay. Well, nobody pays for drugs with Colombian money, do they?
Well, apparently they do.
Apparently,
just Colombians are using a lot of drugs.
Or the people, or there was most of the people that were actually doing the survey were using cocaine at the time.
That was it. Well, somebody once told
me. There's another one with some on it.
Oh,
that's right. Look at that.
Sure enough. If you go through enough money, you could get yourself a nice line.
Yeah.
I had to go through $10,000, man. I got these lines.
Hey, man. I'm going to keep going.
The thing about it
I feel kind of up.
Somebody once told me, though, that it doesn't. The stuff spreads because it's powdery. Right. I mean, if you have like one bill, it can spread to 100 of them easy.
Yeah, if it's in your pocket or the same. Yeah. Exactly. So that hadn't been determined,
that tells
but
you
still.
Nothing.
Right. But the Colombian.
Okay. So, all right. The only thing that I got is this guy, Stephen Tame, 29, from Suffolk over in England. Mm-hmm. He suffered a severe head injury in a fall and basically transforming him. He went into a coma. And he fell from a gantry at working at a bicycle warehouse, but he'd just gotten married, and so he went into this coma.
For how long?
Is this 2 months.
2 months?
2 months.
Wow.
So he was a devout Christian, but then after he came out of the coma, he claimed that the accident had boosted his libido and wrecked his marriage as he turns to prostitutes and pornography, and was awarded more than £3 million or $5.89 million in damages on Tuesday.
So he could buy more girls and pornography.
Exactly.
Right. Wow.
I thought that was pretty. He got awarded money for.
He had 2 months to realize the important things in life.
Right. Yeah. I guess a good knock on the head. Like, what? I got married?
What am I doing? So, what was I thinking?
No,
I can get married to a different girl every day now.
So, what else you got? Anything?
I'm done with
it. Yeah, I think that's it. That was good. The last show of the year.
Yeah,
closing
out.
We're pinching off the year.
That's right.
2006.
Thank you, Jack.
Hey, good to be here, Jim.
My Christmas was a bust. I got my Klingon Warbird, but it didn't have the cloaking device in it.
Took
it back.
Well, I noticed one thing about your Christmas, though, was you need to get a helmet. Because I noticed that you, by the time you add up your Christmas money, just about paid for your car repair.
Oh, God, I know. That's great. Day after Christmas, freaking car breaks down. Exactly to the penny consumed all of my Christmas money.
All right, so any quick predictions? I made my prediction.
You said Saddam's going to die.
No, Castro. Well,
Castro's going to die.
I was right. Saddam did die.
Okay, so my
Castro
prediction is Saddam's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Castro's going to die.
Boy, I'll tell you, predictions, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
The noose is going to continue to tighten.
Yeah, for sure.
The
market will decide.
We are always ahead of the curve. Jimmy.
Well, we're going to be
converted. Tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends. Don't forget the donation.
Even if you don't donate, at least email us. Let us know what you're thinking out there. Give us some ideas, some feedback. So we always appreciate that.
Yeah, we need ideas.
Councilor Curtis came up with those really cool shirts we got.
Oh, the shirts.
We will have some shirts.
And we're going to get mugs.
And mugs, yeah.
We're going to have mugs.
And remember that mug on eBay. Go ahead and give a
see what
it's
all,
it's up to 115. Yeah. So.
27 people bidding on it.
Go ahead and make a bid. Go ahead and make it. It's for a good cause, not our cause. But
we don't
see
it die.
Yeah. It's good, not a great cause. maybe we'll put up something for eBay here. We got this right here.
Yeah, you got a Yoda statue.
We got this phone.
We got this telephone that never rings.
Right.
You can auction it off.
That's right.
The old telephone.
So that.
We go down there and get that telephone.
Might even have a $20 Publix gift certificate. I don't know. We'll see what comes up.
I got one for Books-A-Million.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay.